Can everybody hear me okay? Great. Hi, my name is Byron Reese. I am the CEO of a company called PageWise here in Austin, as a matter of fact. It's an internet publishing company. In my 12 years on the internet business, I've started five or six companies or been associated with them at the very beginning. And I've done everything from take a company public to fail miserably and go out of business any number of times. I've raised $15 million in venture capital for a company, and on other times tried to do it for much less than $100. So I hope that having kind of done the spectrum and had the full spectrum of outcomes, I have learned something in all of those years that hopefully you can pick through everything I'm about to say and figure out if in fact that is the case. So what I'm going to do is start off with 4 or 5 minutes just kind of talking about how I see the internet right now and the kind of the state of the union, as it were, and where, in a very big sense, where we're at. And then I'd like to talk about specific ideas or groups of ideas or categories of ideas that I think hold a lot of opportunity in today's climate. And then I'd like to talk about some very inexpensive ways to get technologies that you can piece together to bring about whatever business it is you end up starting, to actually introduce this notion of doing something on an extreme budget. And then fourth, I'd like to talk about the really hard question of how do you get traffic? How do you get people to come to your site or buy your service? And then I'll close with 4 or 5 very quick observations on just kind of what would fall under the heading of general business advice. And so that's my roadmap. So President Calvin Coolidge was the one who said that the business of America is business. And if there's one thing that people in this country seem to excel at, it is conducting business, providing better goods and services at lower prices to benefit consumers. I don't know why it is, but there is a real reason that this is called the land of opportunity. I mean, there is a real reason that people understand what this notion of the American dream is. There's a real reason people want to come to this country for the opportunity, and I think that that's going to be the overarching theme of what I'm going to talk about, is the opportunity that presents itself at the moment. The history of business in this country has been quite tumultuous. There have been countless booms and busts and bubbles and depressions and panics and disruptive technologies and new products that are widely adopted. There have been periods of stagnation, of exploitation, of mass migration. There's been regulation and deregulation, monopolies and anti-monopolies, trusts and trust busters. There have been conglomerates and syndicates and consortiums and just everything. I mean, in a word, it's been a tumultuous ride. But in every one of these changes and these radical shifts that have occurred in the history of business in this country, there have been opportunities. There have been fortunes made and fortunes lost and reputations established and heads hung in shame, as it were. But I would argue that today, and I mean literally today, there's more opportunity for somebody to succeed in business than in the past 1,000 years of business. And I don't say that trying to be somebody giving you a pep talk or somebody who's got a tape series they want to sell. I say it in the calm, cool, collected manner of a person who can look back up across the span of history and see that never before has so much opportunity been available to so many people at such a low cost. For the first time ever, and I mean ever, business is truly a meritocracy. It no longer hinges on who you know or how much money you have or where you went to college or if you went to college or who owes you favors. What finally matters is who provides the best service at the best price, who serves the consumer best, who hustles, who works hard, who pleases customers, who operates the leanest, who has the most passion. This is bad news for the few people who park their car in Harvard Yard, but for the rest of us who hunger for a turn at bat to swing as hard as we can and let come what may, this is finally the proverbial it. The playing field is finally level. Everybody can have a try, and there is more opportunity right now than one can imagine. Before I get into the particular opportunities, I'd like to explain that comment, that why I think today is so unique. I mean, some people would argue that all the big fortunes have been made, all the big ideas have been claimed. Why, you know, the eBays and the Googles and all of those people have kind of carved out the big things, leaving just these little pockets left for people. You know, why wasn't the real opportunity back in 1999 or 2002 or 2004? Why is it today? And I think largely it's today because the reason that most early internet businesses failed, including mine, was not that they were inherently bad ideas, but they failed for what are known as one of the four horsemen, four basic inherent barriers from back then that kept businesses on the internet from succeeding. And they've all been overcome. So the first one was that getting online was hard, and you had a dial-up modem, and connection was slow, and you got dropped, and it was just a pain to get on the internet. And that's no longer an issue. You know, most people have broadband, and it's easy, and it's available, and you've got Wi-Fi, and it's easy to get on. The second thing was nobody wanted to do business over the internet. People thought you were foolish to type your credit card in, that somebody was going to take it, you know, and you were doing business with people you couldn't even see. And the passage of time has gotten people comfortable with that, and now they're willing to buy stuff online. The third thing that has changed is that search used to really be bad, that even if there was the perfect company out there, you could never find it because search engines were very primitive, and the results that they served up were poor, and Google's kind of single-handedly changed that. And the fourth was that there was no economical way to convert traffic that you got to your website into revenue. So you could have all the people in the world come into your website, but there was no way to make money off of it unless you could hire a sales force or brand yourself. And Google, with their AdSense program, also single-handedly changed that. So that's why I think that the opportunity is finally, you know, here now, that all of these intrinsic and psychological barriers have passed. And now you can, there's a wide expanse of businesses that can now succeed because of these four horsemen. So can you, in fact, start a business for $100? I would say absolutely. One reason is that you already own much of what you actually need. Do you have a computer already? Do you have an internet connection? Do you have a phone and a credit card? Do you have enough fingers with which to type? You know, if so, then you actually are most of the way there. So what I'd like to do now is talk about like specific opportunities, specific areas that I think afford opportunity. So the first, there are about five or six areas I want to cover. The first, and I think the most exciting, are broadly speaking what you would call content companies. The internet has 6 billion pages on it right now, and believe it or not, it needs a whole lot more. There's a huge shortage of information on the internet, the kind of information that people are actually searching for. And so in a broad way, I think that content companies afford a huge amount of opportunity, mainly for two reasons, because it's relatively easy to get free traffic to your site because search engines, 400 million people a day use search, or 400 million searches are done a day on Google, and those end up going to people's websites. And if you provide good information, then you become one of those. And the second reason is what I alluded to earlier, that traffic is much easier to monetize through something like Google's AdSense. If you're not familiar with Google AdSense, then, you know, make a mental note right there to stop and get familiar with that. It has made commerce on the internet and publishing on the internet finally profitable. So by content companies, I think then you say, okay, well, what content do I put on the internet? And I think there are a lot of different categories you can pursue. The first, broadly, I would call public domain information. And that's quality content that is freely available for people to use. And I would put that into two broad categories. One would be out-of-print books where the copyrights have expired on them. So anything published in the United States before 1923 is in the public domain. Anybody can take it and put it online and make a website out of it. And there's a lot of information that pre-1923 information is actually better than today. For instance, my company has a library of, I don't know, probably $200,000 worth of old books that we just bought with the intent to make websites out of them. And, you know, one would be a 1900 book of Creole recipes from Louisiana. I mean, that's really interesting because those recipes still taste every bit as good and they're historical. And you can take that one book that cost us $14 and make a website out of it. And all of a sudden, it's the definitive, you know, vintage Creole recipe site. And so there's many, many more books that have had their copyrights expire than haven't. And so there's plenty of places to find them. I would suggest going to a site called alibris.com, A-L-I-B-R-I-S, and the nice thing about it is it's a book site that lets you search by publication date. So you just look for books published before 1923 on any keyword that you think would still be relevant. Herbal lore, trains, history, anything. Another great source for public domain information is government publications. The federal government, state governments, all of those, anything they publish is in the public domain. Most of them say it, assert it, but even if they don't, it's a simple fact that it's owned by taxpayers, and if you can pass yourself off as a taxpayer, then it's yours as well. And there are enormously numbers of millions and millions of pages of both print and online information that you can take and repurpose. Things like you could make a consumer guide with what to do when you're defrauded or your identity is stolen, or they have car buying guides, and they have just an enormous amount of government publications that you can just kind of repurpose and organize, and that's kind of the value you're offering as you're reorganizing them. And in all of these cases, you'll publish a website and put Google Ads on it, and next week start getting checks, and presumably they grow over time. Another area that you can get a lot of content is to aggregate existing content. If you're familiar with like the site Kayak, K-A-Y-A-K, it's a travel site that when you search for a hotel room, it goes out and queries every single hotel website that there is looking for the best rate. Now that's a big example of the kind of thing you can do, but there are even smaller ones that an individual can aggregate information. And this is high value to consumers, where you just pick something like power drills and you say, okay, I'm going to make the definitive site on power drills. And so you list all the different power drills and all the different places to buy them and the prices. And some of it you have to update manually and some of it you can do automatically. But all of a sudden you've created value that will rank well in the search engines and have good relevant ads on them as well. You can also data mine the internet, and that's another enormously profitable way to make money, and that is that I have a buddy who people who buy oil stocks want to know how many wells are in production around the country, but it's not readily available. So what he does is he goes around to all the different oil company websites and he figures it all out, and then he sells it for $800 a month to these people who follow these stocks. And he's taking existing information, but he's aggregating it so that it's easier for the people who want it. Another way that is user-generated content. Get people who visit your site to write your content for you. This is the lazy man's way to do it, and it frankly, I would avoid it, because you in the end have to be responsible for your own content and having it produced, and you can't just hope somebody. That's just like a wish. So I would avoid that. I mean, Wikipedia obviously did it better than anybody will ever do it ever. But aside from that, I don't think it's particularly easy to have success at. And finally, I would say write it yourself. Even if you're not a writer, it's amazingly easy to build good websites. For instance, you could just have one, if you live in Austin, as I do, just have one called AustinRestaurantReviews.com. And every time you go out to eat, just write a page about it. And the ads will be highly relevant, and people searching on those restaurants will find your reviews, and it will get links from Austin-related sites, and then you can eventually offer other people the opportunity to review restaurants. And so from this tiny seed, You can grow a whole genre, as it were, and you can go to other cities and scale it up. But it doesn't have to be restaurants. I mean, in fact, the irony of the internet is the more specific it is, in general, the better it does. It's easier for search engines to send highly targeted people to it. So even if it were Thai restaurants in Houston, it would be even better. And finally, I would think of content not only as text, as all the examples I just gave, but as other forms of media as well. If you know iStock Photo, which is an amazing sensation, you know, take all the pictures you've ever taken, call them stock photos, and upload them to iStock, and then every time somebody downloads them, you get a dollar. And or I have a company called Expert, a website called Expert Village, which has 20,000 how-to videos we've made. And so, you know, we're doing exclusively video content now. And so overall, like I said, I think content offers the easiest entry. You know, with a domain and a word processor, you're in business. And with AdSense, you never have to sell anything. You just have to provide better information than other people are providing. Another area that I think offers at least some opportunity would be providing services over the internet, or at least using the internet to facilitate the sale of services. Historically, service businesses are neat because you can get into them easy. They pay immediately, but they're not so neat in that there's a finite number of hours in the day, and that's all you have. That's your only real asset. And so the minute, you know, if you're a dentist, the only way you can make more money is to fill more teeth, but there are only so many teeth you can fill in a day, so you have this kind of barrier. But I think the way one should approach service businesses, with the idea of actually having a business that doesn't tie you to it all the time, is to say, okay, I'm going to develop the model, I'm going to develop the business, I'm going to understand all of the issues, and then I'll hire people to plug in to actually do it eventually, but I'll be the first guy doing it. And when you think about it, when you ask the basic question, what is it that people don't like to do that you can do for them for money, it's an enormously wide range of things. You could You could, nobody likes to grocery shop and haul in all their groceries. So you could just say, hey, rich people, we'll do all your grocery shopping for you and deliver all your groceries to you, just like the olden days, and we just double the price from the HEB thing. And you use the internet to facilitate their ability to communicate with you and the scheduling and all of that, but you are providing a service. And again, you don't want to be out there at HEB schlepping around 50-pound bags of dog food, but once you get it all nailed, you just start putting people in and you have a service business. But there are enormous numbers of those. There's video tutoring. You know, go buy a webcam, and if you happen to know some topic particularly well, offer to tutor it. Or think of anything people want that they can't afford to buy a whole one of, but through the process of technology, you can sell them a part of one, like a personal assistant. I always hope someday I have a personal assistant, but I don't. But I could probably afford a tenth of a personal assistant. So some kind of a service that uses Google Calendaring, where I can schedule somebody to pick up my laundry and somebody to do this and somebody to do this, and eight other people share this same person, you could scale that. You could hire more and more people to put in it and expand your service and actually have a business. And at no point are you making any huge leap. At no point are you not making money along the way. At no point is it any kind of an act of faith. To the extent that the business works, you just add more to it. And when it doesn't work, you don't do it anymore. A third A third broad area that I think one can have success is selling products you don't own. It used to be that if I went to somebody and said, hey, I need a plastic surgeon to do my nose job, he'll say, oh, you know, go to Dr. Smith. And I go to Dr. Smith, and I give him $10,000, you know, to fix my broken nose. Well, in the olden days, the guy who referred me to Dr. Smith doesn't get to share in that transaction at all because, you know, it's... He says, well, I'll tell you my guy, but I'd like to participate. You know, it didn't work like that. But the internet, with all of its tracking and everything, has made that very easy. That if you can connect a buyer of something to a seller of something, you can, just by facilitating that relationship, just by introducing them together, collect part of that transaction. And that's done through affiliate programs. And there's really only one you want to be a part of, which is commissionjunctioncj.com. And you can go there, and there are 10,000 companies that list all of their products there. And you can pick one like Walmart.com and start writing pages about Walmart's cell phone or digital cameras and start putting links to those digital cameras. And if somebody lands on your page, clicks on that link, and buys a digital camera from Walmart.com, you get 7.5% of that sale. And again, that's just a check that comes in. And hopefully it's like an annuity. Hopefully most content businesses like that, you do them once and then they continue to pay over time. I mean, I have a site, assortment.com, that I started in 2000, and I deliberately bought content to put on it that wouldn't age. And to this day, so far that site has had 250 million visitors, and to this day, Google sends me over $100,000 a month off this one site, just off the clicks on it. And that's just like the Energizer Bunny. It goes up to 200,000, it drops to 70,000, but it never fluctuates out of that range year after year after year. And so there are enormous possibilities to build things that are continually useful. That's why actually the digital camera one is a poor idea, because 6 months later that page will be reasonably useless to people because that digital camera won't even exist. Finally, you could sell custom merchandise. The internet has made buying custom things much easier. I have a site called jjkent.com, which is a jewelry site, and I'm the number one manufacturer of Italian charm bracelets in the world. They're these little square pieces of metal you snap together, and each one has a different thing on it. So you buy like a state of Texas and then your birthstone and then your initials and a few other things, and when you snap them all together, you have a bracelet. And it's perfect for buying and selling on the internet because there are 5,000 different of these charms. So you type your college name in, your hometown name in, your pet, what kind of dog you have, and you build this bracelet in real time, and you move the charms around, and it's repricing it constantly. And you don't have to get and I've sold $12 million worth of those because I could compete with anybody else on that because I can offer a better consumer experience than a Walmart could. You can't go in the store, you can't go in a Walmart and go through 5,000 bins of charms looking for your Chihuahua one, but you can just type Chihuahua on my site and get it. And so selling custom goods is very easy on the internet because people want to buy it, and the technology lends itself to doing that. And so you can be very modest. You can just sell custom bumper stickers, for instance. A girl I know in San Francisco sells custom-made refrigerator magnets. So she draws these things on paper and then produces them. And she sells $800 a week in these refrigerator magnets just from people who think the designs are really cool and they buy them. But any number of custom products, I think you can. There's a company called Cafe Press, like C-A-F-E, and you can make up some witty saying or draw some cute picture or something, and through a relationship, and then you go to Cafe Press's site, and you upload it, and all of a sudden, people can buy it on a coffee mug or a hat or a removable tattoo or a bumper sticker or a t-shirt or, you know, 100 different things, and you never see it or touch it. You've provided the intellectual property and you've shown it to people, but they ship it and make it and all of that. And it's a highly custom good that people can buy one off. And again, you just basically collect whenever a sale is made. And then finally, technology sites are always a good area. And by that I mean just think of technology is so easy now. There are so many pieces you can just snap together having no technical ability. You could make a site, for instance, called, you know, writeyourcongressman.com. And all you have to do is, you know, find the email addresses of every congressman and map those to zip codes. And people go to the site and they type in their zip code and they send an email to the congressman. And it's the kind of thing people would link to, and groups, advocacy groups would say, you know, go to write your congressman and complain to your congressman about this. And you don't, it used to be you had to worry about, well, how would you make money off that? And you would say, well, we could charge people $5 to, you know, send it to him every minute for till election day, or something like that. But you don't have to worry about that. Just getting people to the site means you'll have Google ads on it and it will pay. And all you have to do is maintain it. And that means every election cycle, or every time a congressman dies or something, you're updating it. But by and large, those kinds of things. You remember the site, if you're familiar with it, Am I Hot? A really simple idea and a very simple technology. People upload their pictures and other people rate them on a scale from 1 to 10 of how attractive they are. It appeals to this basic instinct of, you know, how cute am I or am I not? Or I want to rate other people. And again, it's just, the technology is easy. I could have done it and I can't, you know, do hardly anything. And then, and in terms of those kinds of sites, I would urge people to look at Google Maps. Google Maps has a very open API now. It's very easy to build things on top of them. And people aren't doing it yet, but it's so useful. You could mark all the Chinese restaurants on your map, or you could make bike tours for people, or you could make ghost tours of downtown Austin and where all the ghost houses are, or historical markers in Texas. You could put them all over there and type them all in. And the Google Maps are so open that all you do is basically mark them all, and then you have a web page that's got a map that people can, you know, look for historical markers and all that functionality of Google Maps right down to the satellite view, but you've built something on top of it. Very easy. And then, you know, you're the definitive source of Texas historical markers, and there's a strip of ads relating to vacations down the side, and once again, you get a check. Those are the kinds of ideas that I think offer opportunity. I'd like to talk briefly about some of the technology, some of the really low-cost places you can. I hope I can talk about this. Yes, here we go. That isn't it. Excuse me. So just general little things that, and forgive me if a lot of this is basic, because I don't really ever know things that are widely known and things that aren't. I mean, obviously you need to register a domain, or probably you do. And I use Two Cows because it's $8 a year. GoDaddy, G-O-D-A-D-D-Y, which is very low cost and seems to work well. For hosting, I use a place called Geek Hosting, and they charge me the princely sum of $24 a year to host my websites for me, and that gives me SQL databases and email addresses and CGI scripting, I mean, everything, all for the princely sum of, you know, $2 a month. If you need to take credit cards, if you are going to end up selling something like a custom bumper sticker, that used to be a big barrier, taking credit cards, and now it's the easiest thing in the world. Google has their new shopping carts out there that are, seem very compelling. PayPal has all of these amazing offerings, even for people who don't have PayPal accounts. And they have all kinds of features that let you auto-bill people like every month for a subscription to something. If you need more flexibility, I love a company called CC Now, letter C Now, for credit cards. It's so easy to get started, and their fees are high, but it's one of those things that you'll pay high percentage fees while you're getting it all set up and just to kind of get on the road, as it were. And then, but if you want more of a kind of an end-to-end solution, Yahoo Stores, I think, offers a very compelling set of technology for $30 a month. And they have a shopping cart, so you can sell multiple things and people can add them to cart. They do all the order confirmation. When somebody checks out, they send them an order saying, You got this. They process the credit cards. They have templates for you to set up your website to be able to sell. I mean, it's kind of an end-to-end solution for $30 a month. It's just an enormous amount of functionality for, I mean, it's not a trivial sum, but it's certainly affordable. Any business that can't cover $30 a month in Yahoo store costs probably isn't, you know, where you want to be spending all of your time and effort. For autoresponders, which can be a very useful sales tool, an autoresponder is an automatic email that's sent out every 7 days or every 9 days or every time the moon turns full or whatever pattern. I love a company called Autopilot Riches, A-U-T-O, Pilot Riches. And then you'll probably want to manage a customer list at some point. You might have a concept of a customer that you need to mail to repeatedly. And I like a company there called Constant Contact. The reason I like them is because I think for lists under 3,000 or 5,000 names, all the services are free. And they're hoping, you know, that when you get name 5,001 or 3,001 or whatever it is, you're so kind of into their system, you'll pay them their $10 a month. But it's just a very affordable way to manage a list. And they have good delivery. With those kind of companies, it's very important because a lot of them just get blocked all the time. In terms of designing websites, so much of it is template-based now, but if you actually want to try to do it, there's a site called Tucows, T-U-C-O-W-S, tucows.com, which is a huge repository of shareware and freeware. Migrate towards the freeware, and it's software you know that's completely free to use, kind of no-catch software. And you can buy web designers and those sorts of things. How am I doing? How much time do I have? Oh, I'm done. Okay. Wow. I'm so sorry. I will close with just a couple of really quick pieces of general advice. I would say, one, have a bias towards action. Most people don't. I mean, most people have a bias towards inaction. They want to figure things out before they do anything. But, I believe what Goethe said, which is be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. Also, don't try to be too smart. Don't try to think too many steps ahead, like someday I will franchise this. Just figure out, like, how can I make money next week? And then when you get to that point, you kind of look around and say, oh, that looks like a little opportunity over there. I'll just go see what's there. And you go there, and you just kind of follow opportunity instead of trying to plan things out. And finally, and then I'll close with this, is try to be as agnostic as possible. Don't be a true believer in anything. It's like, don't get some idea. You're like, I am convinced of this. Humility, a huge dose of humility I have learned the hard way is requisite because in the end, nobody can predict what's going to work. So really what you want to try to do is do a lot of stuff and see what works and listen to people when they say, that's a stupid idea. I mean, you don't have to like stop doing it, but don't just say, no, it's a great idea. You have to have strength of your convictions, but just be humble in how certain they are because it's very hard to predict the future. And that's what I have. I was going to go into a big, long section about how to drive traffic to your site, so I will save that for next year. And thank you very much.